Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Answering the Call, offering a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of local priests, deacons, and religious. And now, Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hello there, and welcome to Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm Elizabeth Ficicelli. I'm glad to be here as we get to know people from our diocese and beyond our diocese and follow how they answered the call in their own lives. I have a special guest today. You may know that our diocese has the great blessing of having several religious communities of sisters, different parts of the world. And our newest order to join us in our diocese is the Little Servant Sisters of the Immaculate Conception. It's an order that started out in Poland and has spread to different countries throughout the world. We have two sisters that arrived and are with us now. About a month ago, they came here. There's a third expected to come next month. They are serving at Holy Family Parish in downtown Columbus. And today my guest is Sister Irene. So Sister Irene, thank you for joining us on Answering the Call.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth.
So Sister, you come from Poland, obviously, and you actually come from a city environment yourself. So maybe being in downtown Columbus isn't anything too unfamiliar to you. You're kind of used to an urban background.
That's right.
And if I have it right, you're the city that you came from, is it Braslow?
Breslau in German.
Breslau
in Polish.
Okay.
Breslau in German.
And that's one of the larger cities in Poland,
yes,
right?
Yes, one of them.
Okay. So talk a little bit about the family that you grew up in back in your city.
I grew up in the big city, but this was like suburb part.
Suburb of the city. Okay.
Okay. This was families who were coming and living over there. I was born there. Mm-hmm. Then it's nothing new for me.
Okay.
But most the families came either from west side mm-hmm. or east side. Most families were coming like from present time is Ukraine.
Okay.
And eastern part of Poland. And those people always were thinking about the cities, the fields, whatever they left. My family, actually, my father was in the war, and he came to Wrocław because he was serving together with his, right now, my uncle, my mother's brother. And they say, let's go together to Wrocław. I have two sisters, and maybe you will marry one of them. And then our life was simple, nothing special. We grew up going to school. To grammar school, to high school.
And Catholic?
We didn't have Catholic schools in our part.
Okay.
There was one only Catholic high school, but only really very rich people could go.
Okay.
And those who are really wanted to go.
Okay.
But my school was like 2 minutes ago, 2 minutes away from the house. My house.
And at the time you were growing up, communists had a strong presence in Poland, and there were tensions between the government and the church. But did you experience that at all, or where you were geographically?
I did some, but not really very big difference in my life, because my parents were not communists. And never been,
right.
And they didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And in my place, where on my street, where we lived together, we didn't have communist people.
Okay.
Only those who want to be on big higher position, those people were afraid of their jobs.
Okay.
I didn't experience so much like the others. Like my girlfriend from my city, she was afraid to go because she wanted to go to college. And she said she has to join the group, youth group, belongs to the Communist Party. I said, I don't want to go to college, but I'm not going to join any group to belong to the Communist Party.
So you were able to worship freely, go to church, you didn't have a problem with that. And what about any devotions at home, anything you did as a family?
That at family, we pray together, but especially the kids, because, you know, the parents were, I have both parents working.
Okay.
And we, as the kids, who were praying together. I was the oldest one. I had to pray with them, teach them the prayers. Mm. I have to go with them for the catechesis. Mm-hmm. Even I was doing mine, but I have to prepare the work with them. I have to do the homework with them. I was the oldest one in the family doing that job. My mother or my father never did.
Now, in high school, you had an opportunity to work with and get to know some religious sisters at your parish. And this would be an important influence on you to begin to hear what God was calling you to. But they were the little sisters, the little servant sisters of the Immaculate Conception. Talk about that.
Okay. In our parish, we have our sisters. I never had chance to talk to them or meet them because they were working in different part of our parish. Mm-hmm. They were working in different part, and they were having the children and preparing the children for sacraments in the different part of the city. And I met sisters in high school where we didn't have, that time was funny because we're supposed to have CCD class mm-hmm. right after school where we went. Priest wasn't there. And sister was saying, okay, let's go. I know one sister and maybe she knows where the father is. And this is how I became in our favor with the sisters. Especially I know one sister. She passed away a few years ago. And she was a really wonderful person. And I always admire her, mm-hmm. the way how she was praying. Nobody disturbed her. Even children were coming, and she never even pushed the children to be quiet in her place. She was teaching religion classes, and she asked me, invite me to come to her class. And I was observing her, how she was motivated to teach the children.
And that's what you were doing with them? You were working with the children as well, kind of helping them teach them or
form them helping. Some way? Yes, that time before I entered whole year, I was helping. I was working for 1 year okay. to have experience. And that time where I was working, I was studying to be secretary. Mm-hmm. And I was doing typewriter right. machine yes. using, and I was learning how to do shorthand right. writing and the other stuff to be secretary,
sure. you
know, how file the different sure. papers and everything. And I did even over the summer one of the courses to be catechist.
Oh, catechist. Okay. All right.
Okay. This was funny because they always were saying, oh, what do you want to do? I said, I want to be a teacher. Mm. And they said, you went to general high school. That's not the high school for teachers. Because in our school was high school for those who wants to be teachers.
Okay.
I never did. And I want to be teacher. They said, how you can be a teacher not going to that kind of school?
Well, and when was it then that you also began to see, even more specifically, that you wanted to be a religious sister? When did you connect those dots?
Actually, when I finished high school.
Okay.
Because I was trying to figure out what I want to do with my life.
Okay.
And I was thinking, and I was praying over it. And then suddenly I said, oh, Blessed Mother, I want to follow her. I want to be like Blessed Mother. And where I found it out that our sisters, our little servant sisters of the Immaculate Conception, I said, I think I want to do something what they do.
Okay. Now, did you share this desire with your parents? Did you tell anybody?
I never did.
You didn't tell them?
I never did.
So why, we've heard this before. Why were you hesitant to tell your parents about your vocation idea?
Actually, they didn't find out from me. They found it from somebody else. They said, oh, your daughter is going to the church very often and she meets sisters. If she wants to be a sister or not, what do you think? And my father, my mother were asking, you want to be a sister? I said, maybe. And they asked, oh, you're not going to be a sister because you don't know how to work in the fields. You don't know how to do certain things at home because you live in the city. You never did. You didn't cook. You didn't do any gardening. I said, I didn't, but I want to be a sister. I will never do it that. And I will never do that kind of job.
Did they resist you? Did they try to talk you out of it, or, you know, push back on you, or were, because you're only, you know, just out of high school, you're still pretty young, still living at home, and but they, how did it end up resolving? How did
I just went once for retreat. I was lying like Sister Bozena that I'm going somewhere else with my friends. And then I supposed to go with my friend, and my friend didn't show up. And I went for my with my by myself.
To that retreat.
And I, yeah. And that time, this was a year after I finished high school. That time I still wasn't sure if I'm going or not going.
Did you consider any other religious communities besides the Little Servant Sisters? Because you lived near a city, so you probably had exposure to other religious sisters. You know, sometimes in the small areas, people weren't exposed to the sisters, but you lived in a more urban environment, so you probably saw other sisters at some point in the city. Did you consider any other religious communities?
I didn't consider. I saw the other sisters, but telling the truth, I liked the outfit they were wearing.
We've had people say that before. Well, it's good, you know. It, yeah. Your outfit, I want to explain your habit is there's a blue, navy blue, and the veil is black and white. So you look nice in blue,
thank
sister.
Thank you very much.
We have had sisters on this show tell us that I was drawn to the white of the Dominicans. I mean, it's funny how God uses our senses, too, to still respond, because this is where he wanted you. This is what he wanted. And I see how beautifully and how logical it is, because you are drawn to religious life and you have a heart for teaching. And he's going to combine those desires. And it's, to me, it's evident that you have found your...
Wherever I enter from the beginning, they were asking me, the superiors, write down what you want to do to teach the children.
Teach the children. And as we're hearing, is a big charism of the Little Servant Sisters. And so you allow tell your parents, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah,
and you're ready to follow
I'm ready
this.
To go. At that time, my mother went with the other sister. And she was crying where she came to our general house where she had to leave the next day. She was crying. I said, why do you cry? And finally, I just tried to, not to cry, but some tears came to my eyes. And my mother said, why do you cry? I said, because you are crying. And it was not that I'm leaving something. I said, I want to be with sisters. And the moment I was leaving my mother, I said, I want to be with the other sisters, with the young ones. I was desired to be together with the other sisters from my group.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a parent myself, and I can see the desire for parents to want their children to be happy and to make the right choices for them. And I have guests on this show who have talked about the parents were reluctant, whether it was to go into seminary or the convent, because they were afraid their child would be lonely or limited in his or her abilities to do things. And as we see that these are true vocations, we see how God works through, you know, these men and women, and how much his dreams are always bigger than ours, and how this always turns out to be the right thing. But I understand from a parent's perspective that struggle. But you heard the call, you answered the call, and maybe your parents thought, meh, maybe if it doesn't work out, she'll be back, you know, but to let her at least go
they
ahead
told
and...
Me. 2 weeks, in 2 weeks, she's coming back. And it's almost 48 years, and I never came back.
They're not back. We're talking with Sister Irene of the Little Servant Sisters of the Immaculate Conception. This is the show Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. So, Sister Irene, you entered religious community in 1968. Where did you have to go to enter?
Far away.
Far away from home.
I live in West Side, mm-hmm. Southwest, and our community is on East West. Then almost the whole night I was on the train.
Okay.
And next morning I came to our place.
Did it make it harder that you had to go so far away from home, or at that point it didn't matter if it was 10 minutes away or 10 hours away? You were determined. And
I was determined to go. I didn't want to stay. I really didn't have to live far away because the other sisters were close by, but I really wanted to enter this sisters, this community, Little Servant Sisters, and be with them.
Okay. And your formation would take you to different places in Poland. Where's the mother house located?
Our mother house located is Stara Wieś.
And that's in the
east side.
East side, okay. You also were in Krakow?
I was in Krakow.
Okay.
And Krakow Archdiocese, because my part, even I was in Wrocław, belonged to the Krakow province.
Okay.
And I was working close by those cities.
Okay. So you moved a little bit around Poland, made your final vows, and then you began to serve in the capacity you loved, which was teaching and working with children. And so everything is working well. You're happy in your vocation. And then in 1979, your superiors talked to you about going to America. How did you feel about that?
I wasn't too happy.
No.
From the beginning. And sisters who were close by, I work with them. They didn't like me to go, and my friends didn't want me to go. But Mother Provincial of Krakow at that time, she was my friend. We used to be together in one place, Mother Marietta, and she said, you know, I have to send someone, and you are the best way we can do it. And I said, okay, but if it doesn't work over there, can I have time to come back and you will accept me back again? And sometimes it was very difficult, but I managed to stay here because later on I came to be a teacher, because before where I came, I was studying. I didn't see any children. And I said, I don't have contact with the children. How am I going to be? And finally, where I got to be a teacher, then principal, then coming back as the teacher, religion teacher, and do the CCD programs, I really see myself to spread God news all around the children.
Mm-hmm. You know, religious life can present those opportunities or sometimes challenges about leaving your home country. And you knew that this particular religious order had communities in different places in the world. I think South Africa and the Philippines and in different places and America. So you probably knew that there was a chance you might be asked to leave Poland. But, you know, it's that whole obedience thing. And that's part of the vows you take as a religious. And that's where you get into that trusting God.
That's
that. Please come with me. I'm going to pack you in my suitcase because I'm going to need you, because this is going to be hard. And that's kind of the life of, I think, all the faithful. It's hard, and we have to take God with us on the journey, wherever that journey takes us. So as you mentioned, you came to America, Woodbridge, New Jersey. Was it a big culture shock coming to New Jersey, leaving Poland?
It was. But, you know, with the sisters was okay, but coming to be in the people, but in the beginning, we were in the Polish society, we were going to the Polish churches, and then we went to English-speaking people. I was constantly teaching in English. This was like missing something, you know, especially we didn't have devotion to Blessed Mother like we used to have. Like October, we have the rosary saying in the church. Here, we didn't have it. Then in May, we had like every day litany to Blessed Mother. Here we didn't have it. And then in June we had devotion to Sacred Heart. Mm-hmm. While here there is no litany, no Blessed Sacrament exposed with the Sacred Heart litany. And this was like really very difficult for us. You know, our devotion was completely different.
Mm.
And we missed that. Especially I missed a lot of devotion where I was in English-speaking parishes.
Have you, in the years you've been in America, been able to resurrect some of that devotion and kind of teach it to the children you work with?
Yes, we try. Like I was in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, and we spread the devotion and wherever. I was principal at that time, and we try to have the Saint Rosary, even the decade, one decade before we were having the masses or before we had the assembly for the children. And this is what we were doing.
Mm.
And the same with the litany or May crowning. even May Kramnik was here, but we tried to do a little different way. Mm-hmm. The children will have more devotion to Blessed Mother.
So, you know, even though, as you mentioned, that there were times that you, that it was hard, you did stay in America. You continued to stay
in
America.
Stay.
So, no, you
it was difficult, but I stay. Mother Gina was saying, you know, you already almost passed the exam. You are already part of the community. You became the teacher. It's really difficult when you come back to Poland.
Yes. And I know when you work with children and you teach them, then they grow. Teachers are so important, and they have lifelong impact on a young person. I'm sure you hear that as you've come to Columbus. I'm sure there's kids in New Jersey that miss you, you know?
They miss me a lot, and they constantly either putting on Facebook, "Sister, we miss you."
Aww.
They went to undergrad in New York with the Franciscans, you know, and they say, "Oh, sister, we miss you." They're sending the pictures of themselves or selfies. And I said, "I'm with you in spirit."
And that's that spiritual motherhood that's so beautiful. You know, that people, you have that bond. You have lots of children. You know what I mean? You never gave up having children. You have lots of children. But I have to touch on the fact that you have been to 3 World Youth Days.
Yes, I did. We went to Madrid. We went to Rio de Janeiro. And we recently went to Poland, to Krakow.
What was that like?
It was wonderful. It's not the same. Before, I never had chance to be during the World Youth Days. And where we went, even youths who were with me, they say, "It's not the same." And they're calling me and saying, "Sister, are we going to Panama now?"
What was the biggest takeaway from going to a World Youth Day, what the thing that's going to last with you for the rest of your life, going through one of those World Youth Days?
You know, it's like be part of the big church, and even all the different people from different countries, they're united and they're praying and they're singing, they're joyful. Mm-hmm. And we meet each other, we try to speak to each other from different countries. Even this time when we went to Krakow, one sister came from Madagascar, and over there is working one of our brothers of our sister. And she said, "Oh, we know that father. He works with us." And this was so nice experience. You know, the world is so small.
That's right.
We can meet somewhere. Like before was mentioning, you can go to Rome, meet the people in
right.
Rome. You never met them, or you had chance to meet them closer by your house, but you can meet in Rome. But this is during the World Youth Day, you can meet the people from different countries, and they are united, and they are having love for Holy Father, having love for John Paul II. They constantly, like Madrid and Rio and Krakow, wherever you go, they say, "We love Pope John Paul II.
Of course, yes. Your country has given us a great saint in John Paul. That's absolutely true. And, you know, as I would just think, I've never been to a World Youth Day, but I would think it would give you such hope for the future of the church, because these are millions of young people that are on fire, like you say, singing, joyful, excited. They see each other. No, we're not alone in this. This is a whole worldwide movement of the Spirit that's going on, and that's got to be amazing. And you've worked with the youngest children up through high school. Is there a favorite age group you have in serving children? Any particular age group you like the best?
I used to like kindergarten because, you know, they're like 3-4-year-olds.
Yeah.
Because this was the time in our country, even, nobody wants to teach little ones. I don't know how I got into them, but I was teaching them. But all the groups are really fun to teach them, to be with them. And spread the God news, and, you know, telling about Jesus, how Jesus loves them, and to be part of their life. Because this is sometimes the children coming to you and telling the stories of their life. And parents are coming to tell you their part of life, and they ask for the prayers. This is very important. And this is like motherhood, spiritual motherhood, that you can put and embrace all people together.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you are with your life doing what those little servant sisters did for you when you were in high school, that, you know, they gave you that example. They encouraged you to see what it's like to be a sister, and they helped you to discover your path. And have you seen that yet with the students you work with? Have they come up to you and say, I'm thinking about being a sister?
Yes, I did. And actually, I have one sister who is in our general house. She's the assistant, and she's my teacher, my student.
Beautiful.
From third grade in grammar school.
Beautiful.
And actually, right now, she's in America with Mother General.
Wonderful. See, and that gift just keeps giving. We got to close with a prayer, sister. I could talk to you for another hour, but would you end with a prayer, please?
Okay. Dear God, thank you for those who spread the God's news message through Gabriel Radio. And bless those who are listening this radio. Let us pray for the increase of vocations to the priesthood and the religious life, especially to our community, little servant sisters. I thank God for my vocation, for my life, and for my family, and for my congregation.
Amen. Thank you again, Sister Irene, for joining us. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Answering the Call is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte, Spiritus, Veni, Penaria. Oh God, who by